Mid-America Renewal Conference is coming up September 7 and September 8. You're going to want to mark these dates down and check out this conference, because I'm telling you, the lineup of speakers is just great. Brother Mooney, Brother Gaddy, Brother Chargua, Brother Duncan, Rima Duncan, Brother Jerry Jones. Those five men are going to be ministering in their strength, and it's just going to be a phenomenal time, September 7 and September 8th. If you're in the Midwest region, make the drive to Indianapolis. It's going to be there at Calvary Tabernacle. The music is going to be done by Indiana Bible College. So this is something that you want to bring. Bring your whole ministry team to this event, and there will be a little teaching for everyone. So make sure you mark those dates down again, September 7th and September 8th, 2017, Indianapolis, Indiana. Can't wait to see you there. Glad to have you back at the Indiana Bible College Chapel Podcast, where today we are posting our final installment of our interview series recorded at Youth Congress. And this is actually one of the most unique things. It was not planned, this particular interview. Some of the others we had talked about doing, but this one just kind of happened. Brother Kilman had talked about Matt Yater, and as he was talking about Matt Yater walked up to the booth. And so it was one of those opportunities that we just had to take advantage of. And let's let you listen in on some of Matt Yater's testimony, recorded live at the Indiana Bible College booth during North American Youth Congress. Let's check it out. We're here live at the Indiana Bible College booth with Matt Yater, a former IBC student, an IBC graduate. Went on to get his master's degree. Where was that at, Matt?
At Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary in Elkhart, Indiana.
And then now what are you doing with your life?
I am in Israel. I live in Kibbutz Moel. I go to school, earning my second master's degree at Bar-Ilan University.
Wow.
In the Bible department, and as a prerequisite for the PhD program.
Wow. How did this all kind of get started for you? Walk us up through your journey to this point.
Well, I was in jail for a crime I didn't commit. Is that where you want me to start?
Let's start through scholarship.
Okay, so I graduated. Well, while I was at IBC, God called me and told me to prepare for a PhD.
Okay.
I was a sophomore.
Where were you at? Tell me that story.
I was at IBC.
Uh-huh.
As a sophomore, God had already called me to Israel. But while I was there, my sophomore year, God had just kind of dealt with me in a personal time of prayer. Told me to prepare for a PhD, that I was going to be going to Israel.
Wow.
And all this other stuff. So I'm like, okay, well, I contacted my pastor, and my pastor called the missionary, and the missionary said, without telling the missionary what I told my pastor, Everything the missionary said he needed was exactly what I told my pastor God had told me about.
Wow.
So he did all this conversation with him, and then he never told Robert McFarland, was the head missionary.
Okay.
He never told him I was blind. So I'm listening to this conversation and can't believe that they're having it about me.
Uh-huh.
And then I get Robert McFarland on the phone, and I said, man, he said all that great stuff about me, but he didn't tell you I was blind. And he said, man, I ain't worried about you being blind. Growing up, my best friend was blind.
Wow.
So we used to hunt and race cars and do all this stuff together. And I'm like, wow, okay, well, then I'm in good hands. So that's what began my audacity, because really that's what it was. Boils down to, it's just audacity. What was it, you know, in my life that really began to shape vision and opportunity, was that those moments right there where God called me.
Okay.
So then I started putting in applications. I got accepted at AMBS, which is in Elkhart. Well, when I got there, I tried to start classes earlier, and they said, no, we want you to start at the very beginning. But what I didn't realize is that they were compiling all of these instructors, professors, to have a conversation with me about how in the world we were going to do this.
Okay, and so then, they were putting you off a little bit while they got their game plan together.
That's exactly right.
Wow. How long did that last?
That lasted till that meeting. And what happened at the meeting is everyone was at one end of the room, and I was the only one at the other end of the room. And they were saying, Matt, how are we going to do this? And these are scholars from Princeton and Harvard and things like that. And I'm like, I don't know, but I believe in God, you know. and the one thing
that audacity that you had already.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what happened. And the one thing that really changed the game, I had to leave the room. And then they contacted me later. One professor who graduated from Harvard seen a blind guy playing chess one time.
Wow.
And because he saw that, he's like, well, if a blind guy can play chess, I'm sure he can learn Greek.
Wow.
So we ended up gathering what materials that we could. And I spent 3 weeks learning modern Greek, thinking it was ancient Greek.
3 weeks mistakenly learning the wrong style of Greek.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then from there, we got the right material. And what really happened that was cool was I ended up starting to call software companies. And I'm like, look, this is what I need. This is because if you're going to engage in scholarship, you need to have access to the critical apparatus of the Bible. It's got a bunch of symbols.
In Braille.
In Braille, yeah.
Okay.
Or even audibly, and there wasn't any of that. So Braille was the easiest to make. If you can wrap your mind around that, but
I can't.
So that's what we did. I got two software companies that were willing to see what I had to offer.
Okay.
And then I was learning Greek and developing
ancient this time.
Ancient Greek, yeah.
Praise the Lord.
And then developing basic Braille language to go along with it. Then we added Hebrew to it. And then we decided that we needed a profile where we can have multiple ancient languages on one page and it converted all into appropriate Braille at the same time. And that was the thing that was a game changer for all of Braille software. And so we did that. And
so not just with, are you suggesting that it wasn't just the ancient languages that it changed the software, but even modern languages, the Braille software changed?
Yeah, because what ended up happening is that like in scholarship, if you're going to make comparisons from the Old Testament, the Tanakh, whatever you want to call it, the Hebrew and Aramaic, Hebrew and Aramaic have the same alphabet, so it looks the same. No problem. But if you're going to have Hebrew and Greek on the same page, or Hebrew and Syriac on the same page, Hebrew and English on the same page.
I see.
You have to be able to have some sort of system that will recognize this is Hebrew, this is English, and then make the Braille all the same.
Wow.
Same, I guess, with appropriate to that language.
Sure.
That's what was the game changer.
Okay.
So when we developed that, we wrote the Braille code for Syriac, then we wrote the Braille code for the critical apparatus, and then the hinges were off the door then.
Yeah.
I was able to go in and make original arguments in context of scholarship and wrote a thesis and basically defended it, which was the major test of my capabilities, and that's what happened. I passed. So
that's incredible. I should remind our listeners that we are live at the Indiana Bible College booth, and there was a rendition of Happy Birthday that went on during that last little talk that you gave, but you know, that happens sometimes.
It's not my birthday.
But you know
but
what?
It should be.
One day it will be.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, I have a question for you. What one little item or admonishment would you leave for someone who is currently entertaining or enrolled at Indiana Bible College?
The thing is that I'm blind. I had a meth lab blow up on me when I was 20 years old. I had a criminal arrest record. I had been divorced. When I got in church, my wife left. She didn't have anything to do with God. I have kids. So I had all these things that were stacked against me.
It's a lot of strikes, it seems.
Every reason why I shouldn't have a call of God on my life are the very reasons why I do.
Wow.
So the point is that even when I came saying, hey, I heard from God, there were people who were like, well, I don't necessarily know that that was God. Maybe it was beans. Maybe it was pizza. Maybe it was. But that's what I had to deal with.
Sure.
And anybody who has a real call of God on their life, I think will have to deal with that as well.
Well, Matt, I sure appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us here today and kind of sharing your testimony and where God has brought you from, taken you to. What an incredible story of God's grace and mercy and redemption in your life. And so thank you so much for being here at the IBC booth at North American Youth Congress, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely.
We really want to expand the podcast, and that's where you come in, the listener. What do you want to hear from the Indiana Bible College podcast? So what I would like for you to do is take a little bit, jot some of those ideas down, and shoot them to us in an email. You can email podcast@gotoibc.com. That's podcast@go2ibc.com. We look forward to hearing from you, and God bless.